Welcome to Simcha Even Though on Parshas Hazinu. There's a thought-provoking story written in Sefer Chofetz Chaim al Torah which touched me deeply. Just a disclaimer, as a storyteller, I might have added a word or two here and there, but the core story is how it was read to me from the Sefer by one of my sons. There were two sisters who were very close, but after marriage, each went her separate way. One married a wealthy man, the other a poor man. One day, after many years of not seeing one another, the poor sister traveled the long distance to visit her sister. Let's call the wealthy sister Golda, as in gold, and the poor sister Eva, as in Evyum. Little memory trick. Okay, back to the story. As soon as Eva arrived at Golda's beautiful home, she was greeted by a servant who asked her name, graciously took her coat, and invited her inside. Trying not to gasp in sheer awe, Eva looked around, slowly taking it all in. She saw servants and maidservants, pristine gleaming floors, plush carpeting, elaborate chandeliers, glistening diamonds, and moments later, her own sister Golda. Golda dazzled with expensive jewelry and silk clothing. Eva was in a genuine state of shock. She'd had no idea that her sister lived so elegantly. "My dear Eva," Golda exclaimed. "Golda," cried Eva as they embraced. Gently, Golda escorted Eva to an exquisitely luxurious couch, and an obedient servant, with just a slight nod from Golda, hurried to bring them tea. They shared many anecdotes, the happy and the sad, which had comprised their lives since they'd last spoken. Golda listened with interest, but Eva could tell that her sister was sad. "What's wrong?" she asked her, and Golda answered quietly so no one but Eva would hear. "It looks like I have everything a woman could ever desire, right?" Eva nodded. "And yet the sadness and emptiness in my heart is indescribable. My husband provides for us, it's true, but he doesn't care about me. He doesn't respect my thoughts or feelings. He doesn't honor me. When I speak, he isn't even listening. I'm just another thing he happens to own." Her sister Eva, she realized, was happy and content because despite poverty, simple clothing, and modest furnishings, her husband treated her with love, respect, and joyful appreciation. And, says the Chofetz Chaim, this is how Hashem feels too, so to speak, when someone is so careful to buy the most expensive Sefer Torah mantle, the tallest silver menorah, the most stylish, beautiful Yom Tov clothing, but is completely neglectful about the heart and essence of Yiddishkeit, the actual halachos of Shulchan Aruch, the importance of kavanah and tefillah, and learning Torah. Yidden who live simply and yet honor the Torah with love, respect, and true dedication make Hashem so happy. Powerful. Sir Moses Montefiore once visited Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin. "How can it be," Sir Moses asked the Gadol Hadar, "that the entire world pays attention to every word you say, and yet you live in this tiny apartment with almost nothing?" Sir Moses Montefiore was a major philanthropist. "And so," he said, "I would like to buy you a big, beautiful home, much more fitting for you than this place." Now, most people would jump at such an opportunity. Not Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin. He replied softly, respectfully, and humbly, "If what you say is true," meaning that people listen to him all over the world, "then it's only because I live in such a home." What do you think Rav Yeshua Leib meant by his words? As my son explained to me, Torah is acquired in several ways, and one of them, believe it or not, is poverty. Yes, you heard correctly. And one of the reasons for this is right here in Parshas Hazinu, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasek Tesvav, Vayishman Yishurin Vayivat. And Klal Yisrael was overfilled with all the good they had, all the Gashmias Hashem had showered upon them, and they kicked, they rebelled. I read many Mefarshim on this Pasuk, with help of course, and the conclusion of most was the same. Klal Yisrael is by nature Yashar, thus the title Yishurin, but too much of a good thing can ruin anyone. Humans have certain basic needs, of course, and you're meant to make sure your family has these basic needs met. But an excess of extra tanugim and madanim don't bring a person closer to Hashem. The opposite, pleasure becomes an end goal in and of itself and actually distracts a person from the very important reason he's here. Of course, there are those who are zocha to Torah and wealth, and many of those amazing people support Torah. Such a person is careful to keep Torah at the forefront of his priorities, and he deserves honor for that. Still, most of our Gedolei Torah did not grow up in the lap of luxury, and most of them shun it all of their lives. Why shun it? Dafka, so as not to be pulled away by those nisyonos. A lot of people are armchair philanthropists, but you don't actually know how much money you would give away if it was coming from your wallet, right? And how it would distract you from Avodas Hashem. Next point. What does it mean to kick or rebel against Hashem exactly? So remember the ungrateful lion in the Teva who bit Noah just because Noah was a little late serving breakfast or supper? Terrible, right? But a person can be compared to just such a creature when he goes against Hashem out of fullness and being oversatiated. It doesn't mean literally from one meal. It means you have a lot of good and you start thinking that it's you that got you all that got you to that place. It says the Sfarno, Vayishman Yishoren Vayivat. Asu kamo habahemos, they behave like animals. Habawatos b'vnei adam, who kick the people. Shenosim lahamazon, who give them food. People forget how they got all the shefa bracha that they now have, and they delude themselves into thinking maybe it was their hard work or their merits, and sometimes stop following the Torah as they should. For example, if Hashem blesses you with success so that you can afford to travel the world, and you choose to go mixed swimming on some exotic beach somewhere, you are kavyachal kicking the one who gave you the money to go on that vacation. If Hashem gifted you with extraordinary beauty and charm, and as a result of a certain kind of popularity, you decide to stop being shomer negiah, you are kavyachal kicking the one who gave you attractive looks. Okay, new angle now. We explained earlier how great wealth might take a person away from avodas Hashem, but they're nisyonos with serious poverty as well, right? So what's the difference? Why doesn't the Torah say, and you were a little hungry and you kicked? It's simple if you think about it. Why did many of the hostages find God in the tunnels? We're talking about people who lived in Eretz Yisrael for all or most of their lives. They didn't know about Hashem before October 7th? Of course they did. But in the tunnels, there was nothing else. So they not only had time to remember that there is Hashem, as many of them recounted, they saw Yad Hashem. Yes, they realized that Hashem had put them in the tunnels, but he was also right there with them. Now, those who didn't grow closer to Hashem cannot be judged any more than a Holocaust victim or survivor can be judged. The horrors they went through, no one should ever experience in a lifetime. But I'm referring to the ones who felt close to Hashem, some for the first time in their lives. I love what Omer Shem Tov said. He would start each prayer to Hashem, "How are you, Hashem?" I wrote a poem about that video clip, but since I shared a poem last time, I'm going to spare you. My son Yehuda taught me this, even while he was a bachar. We think we deserve everything we get from Hashem, but really, almost everything is a matnas chinam, a free gift. I'll be honest, I used to disagree. I would say, if a person tries hard to be good and improve himself constantly, doesn't he deserve some good things? And the answer, which I admit took me a few years to understand, is that if we're going to make those kinds of calculations, we are going to come up short. However much good we deserve, either Hashem is already giving it to us in more ways than we comprehend, or certain compensations are waiting for us in the next world, where we'll understand why it's better for us to be rewarded then after 120. Also, here's a little experiment. Now, I'm not saying to copy this exactly, but just look at each day retroactively with this example in mind. Let's say one day you overslept, so you missed Shacharis. Then you said Lashon Hara, and after that you hurt someone's feelings. Chas v'shalom, but let's say. Did you immediately fall down a staircase or spill hot coffee on yourself? How about a few hours later? Probably not. Now let's say you decide to get your spiritual act together that same afternoon. You say Mincha with Kavana like Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You correct the Lashon Hara to the best of your ability, and you ask the person you offended for Mechila very sincerely. Then you cook supper for a family of 18, and you give tzedakah. Well, did you win that raffle trip to Florida that night? Did someone present you with a diamond necklace that night? Why not? Because Hashem doesn't run his world that way. So when we receive good, it might be just because he loves us. And when we stub our toe, maybe it's a test of exactly which words we'll use in our pain. Or when our teen is disrespectful, maybe it's a test of how well we're going to model the behavior we want to see in them. So the good things that happen, not always because we earned it necessarily. If that was the case, when all our earned good got used up, we'd be in trouble, right? And not all difficulty is because we're bad. It's often a test to see how we'll serve Hashem during the hardship. And of course, let's remember the life-changing mashal of the Chafetz Chaim from the beginning of this year. Don't abandon the heart of what Torah is by adorning and beautifying it in a superficial manner, but then walking away from its essence. In the mashal, Hashem is like the wealthy woman in the story, who in a way was really quite poor, because her husband adorned her with fancy clothing and gems, but ignored her. So the takeaway today is not to throw away the gifts Hashem has given us. We should use them and enjoy them, but also make sure we stay on track. And remember that every ounce of goodness we have is from Hashem. Regarding troubles, also from Hashem. But personally, I find that focusing on the obvious gifts gives me strength to deal with the hidden gifts, meaning the problems. May we be zocha to a year filled with obvious gifts, and may we be infused with renewed strength to deal with the challenges. Have a great week, and I wish everyone a good gebencht yar in every single way. Thank you for listening to the shiurim, and may Hashem answer all our tefillos letova b'karav mamash.